This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Verlat. Joshua Landis, big news coming out of Syria. Aleppo looks like it's likely to fall soon. So what does this mean for the opposition in Syria? And in particular, what does this mean for Assad? Has he won? Is this basically the end of the opposition in Syria? Does this change the entire situation now that Aleppo looks like it will actually fall?
Well, it is. It is falling. Almost three-fifths of the city of East Aleppo that had been under rebel control has now fallen to the government, and people are streaming out. Citizens are streaming out. They're very anxious. They've been being bombed, and they're worried that if they go over to the government side, which most are doing, that they could be imprisoned or at any rate, it's a terrible tragedy. It does have major significance, and it does most of the moderate militias that the United States had been arming and training are situated in Aleppo. Once Aleppo falls, the center of gravity for the opposition shifts to Idlib province. This is dominated by Islamists and jihadists like al-Qaeda. The United States will not be able to support those people. So it's hard to imagine how Assad is not going to really become the victor here.
So when you say major significance, it's major significance in a positive way for the regime, for Assad.
Yes. It's an Assad victory. And this is Aleppo is the second largest city in Syria. It's the last city in which major city in which the rebels have a real foothold. If they once they lose that, they're really relegated to the countryside. It's going to be a long process. This is nowhere near over. But the Assad regime is gathering strength, and it's a snowball effect. If he wins this, people are going to begin to join him who are sitting in the wings because they want to be on the side of the winner.
So what does this mean then? What is the significance for the United States, for Russia, for Saudi Arabia, for all the others that have been participating in this activity, and particularly for a new administration in the United States? What does this mean?
Well, it means there's very limited options. And now, Trump, who has taken a very, in a sense, in some ways an honest view, but he's against regime change. He's really tamped down any expectations of democracy promotion. Let me put it that way. Democracy promotion, which has been at the heart of American foreign policy for the last 20 years, beginning with President Bush, who went into Iraq claiming he was going to start democracy in Iraq, and you know, it was a very tough way to start it, but that it was going to overtake the Middle East. And Obama has followed that to a certain degree. We've seen regime change in Libya and partially in Syria with the hope that this was going to create a better Middle East. Today, that confidence, whether it was Democrat or Republican, has really evaporated. And Americans are talking about stability and security in a way that supports dictators. And this sends a message to the Middle East. It is a big win for Russia and for Assad and for Iran, frankly. And our allies, Turkey, Israel, Saudi Arabia, are very upset. They think that America is letting them down, and they're very critical of us. Now, American interests are not to get, you know, not to get involved in this scrappy fight the way we have in Iraq or in Afghanistan. So Americans can defend this and say, look, this is not a fight we need. We've got other fights we're going to have to fight.
Now, so we're obviously talking about the opposition to Assad and the win here, technically, I guess, for Assad. That's apparently imminent. But what does this have to do with ISIS? Now, we know, as you mentioned, Trump and his policy about democratization and regime change, but his policy obviously is we're going to go fight and defeat ISIS. Does this have anything to do with that at all?
Well, it does have to do with ISIS. Trump has prioritized ISIS. We're going to kill ISIS. Now, at the same time, he's surrounded himself with generals who are very anti-Iran and who claim that America has to contain Iran and not let it spread. The real central dilemma that presents itself for American foreign policy is you want to contain Iran, but at the same time, our military strategy to defeat ISIS is to help Iranian-influenced militaries in Baghdad and Shiite militias take that territory and destroy them. So it's spreading Iran's influence. Our military strategy is to help Iran spread its influence over Iraq and Syria. And our stated policy is to contain Iran and support Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Turkey, the opponents of Iran. So we're pursuing two very different things. And so that's the dilemma for the United States in the Middle East when he comes to power shortly.
Well, and a continued dilemma, clearly. All right, Joshua, thank you very much for the update.
It was a pleasure.
If you have any thoughts about this conversation or questions we can try to answer, let us know on the Worldviews page of KGOU.org. You can also follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at WorldviewsKGOU and at Suzek Rolat. After a short break, University of Nebraska political scientist Jonathan Benjamin Alvarado returns to the show. We talked last week about the death of Cuban President Fidel Castro, and this week we'll look ahead to U.S.-Cuba relations under a new administration.